you can't always rely on your understanding, whether it be like an intellectual, technical, or even relational, emotional understanding. God shows us things in the spirit. You know, the word of God, it's spirit, it's life. So he can show you things, but you don't know everything. There is opposition, you know, to people of faith, to people who really love Jesus, want to live for Jesus.
It's not always easy.
It's not norm, and you're going to stand out in society as a whole. We're still to make an impact.
Yeah.
And be the light, be the salt, not lose that, and also not go hide in a cave.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Purdue Podcast. We are so glad that you're here with us, and we are going to have such a good time discussing this topic today. While you're here, go ahead and hit the subscribe button and comment and let us know where you're watching from. Tell us a little bit about yourself. We love to connect with you and find out about you. So this is Pastor Aaron.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. And yeah, like Heather said, write something in the comments about yourself, maybe something that you enjoyed, took away from what we had to share. Several people have reached out to me, and I really appreciate just the feedback and support. And I even go and read those comments and sometimes reply.
Yeah, me too. It's fun, yeah.
I think we're kind of building a really neat community of people that just want to keep growing and just join part of our conversation of what we're talking
it's
about.
It's fun. So. Or prayer requests. You could leave us a prayer request.
It's true,
we love to pray for you.
Yeah, and we're connected, obviously, to a really great ministry, a really great church. So if you're outside of our church, you can connect to our church online or come visit in person as well. But thanks for joining us.
We have a good topic to
really
discuss
great topic,
today.
Yeah,
we're
about
very excited
how
about
to
it.
Make an impact in the midst of opposition. And I was kind of thinking about this, you know, just as time goes on, there is opposition, you know, to people of faith, to people who really love Jesus, want to live for Jesus, because
it's not always easy.
It's not norm. And you're going to stand out in society as a whole. You know, you're going to be kind of swimming up current.
Yep.
But even though we might be in the minority, might be swimming against
the things of
the downstream of the culture, the downstream of what people think
society,
is right or normal.
Yeah.
We're still to make an impact.
Yeah.
And be the light, be the salt, not lose that, and also not go hide in a cave.
No, don't go
either.
Hide. Yeah.
You know, I remember when I was getting my master's and doctorate, one of my professors said, you know, you're different than a lot of Christians I know, like you and your brothers. You know, I have two younger brothers who are kind of close in age, but she just said, you guys are out there doing things.
Yeah.
And I knew what she meant. You know, like we were pretty high achievers and, you know, my parents just prayed protection over us, but they kind of taught us at a young age.
Yeah.
That you're in the world, but not of the world.
Yeah, and it's okay to be different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's so okay to be different. Mm-hmm. I love that about your parents. My mom, she taught me the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's okay to be different. I remember when we would go through struggles at school, me and my sister, and people would be mean to us for various reasons, you know. I had the mom that would say, they're just jealous of you. And I know that's not a popular thing right now. Did you know about this? On social media, there's like the two different moms. There's the mom that will say that, oh, they're just jealous of you. And then you have the mom that says, oh, you never know what's going on at their home. Well, my mom, she was really both.
Mm-hmm.
And those two camps tend to like want to argue with each other. But let's not argue.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we were born to stand out.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
One thing I want people to realize too, when you do feel a lot of opposition, it's not always coming against you.
It's not.
Sometimes
you.
It's that spirit that's inside of you.
Uh-huh.
And a mentor told me, you know, sometimes you'll just be around certain people and you'll just set all the bells and whistles off in them. And that could be like other people who might have the same beliefs as you.
Yeah.
They might be in your family. They might be at your work.
Yeah.
But it's sometimes it's hard not to take it personal.
Yeah.
But something that I was just thinking about recently, you know, and I feel like I try to think about things and rationalize things and wonder why things are, you know, technically, but also
try to figure things
relationally
out so
with people, like
them.
What's because I want to help people. I want to encourage them. I want to know, you know, kind of what's going on and how to help them.
Some people can't be helped.
Yeah, and sometimes you can't figure it out. And this is what, actually, I believe God showed me just yesterday. Yeah. You were taking up the offering here at church, and you actually challenged me. Said, "Go get the checkbook." So I actually got
had to put some pressure on you.
I got up in front of the whole church. You know, I was sitting right on the front row. Like, my parents were out of town. They're the senior pastors. They're out of town, so I had to preach, you know, just in 2 minutes. So I'm more like concerned and thinking about preaching, you know, and doing a good job with that. And you're like, you just get up there and you say, "Go get that checkbook." And you usually give our tithe, you know, offerings at the first of the month. And this is kind of the middle of the month when we're doing this. And so I just got up in front of everyone, walked, you know, to the back room and grabbed my checkbook. And I sat there and, you know, you're a very extraordinary giver. So I knew you didn't want me to just write a check for $10. And, you know, this is a podcast, so I can just be really open. And
that's the point.
So yeah. I just felt like I should give $5,000. And it's a pretty significant amount of money for me. And you know, it's where I'm thinking, do I even have that much money in the account? You know, and I do. But, it, you know, you feel it.
Yeah.
And also your brain starts trying to rationalize it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not quite rational.
No,
you know, I knew you wanted me to do something that's irrational, because that's,
yeah, because that's, you know, how I am.
Yeah,
is that what you're
going
to say?
You're very generous. You're generous. You really hear.
Not,
from,
I'm
you
not
hear
irrational.
But this is what God spoke to me, and He said, if you can't, and this is so good.
Okay.
If you can't wrap your brain around it,
yeah,
it's because you're not doing something natural. You're doing something spiritual.
Yeah.
Something spiritual.
If it doesn't
is going
make
on.
Sense.
If it doesn't make sense. If you can't really understand it. It's because it's very spiritual.
Yeah,
because
faith doesn't always make sense.
And so that's true in the positive sense.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and sometimes God doesn't want you to know exactly what's happening in the spirit realm with what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and I know, I believe that when you give, it comes back to you.
Mm-hmm, me too.
You know, and, but I don't know specifically, God didn't show me specifically what's happening with that.
Or
gift.
How it's going to come back
or
to
how,
you.
Or how, you know, yeah. How. Or when,
mm-hmm.
or it's just, hey, trust me.
Yeah.
I know it's going to do something, but I don't know specific. I couldn't see in the spirit realm what specifically is happening.
Yeah.
The same, and God just showed me really, it really helped me a lot.
Good.
It's true in the negative sense. Sometimes when you're attacked or hurt mm-hmm. or by someone, or you just see stuff going on
it's
out there that just
terrible,
doesn't make sense.
You,
and you try to think about where people are coming from mm-hmm. and put yourself in their shoes, but it just...
doesn't make
you just
sense.
Can't do it, and you just keep spinning,
like
trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And God just showed me when you can't wrap your brain around it, it's because there's something spiritual going on. You know, when it's a negative thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, and there's deception involved. Mm-hmm. You don't know specifically what is deceiving people or why they're susceptible to that. But you don't have to figure it out.
That's right.
And if you can't figure it out.
Don't try to.
And I try to figure things out because I feel like I have a decent IQ and also a decent EQ. And this might be you too. You might be very relational, very good with people, very high EQ, but someone just doesn't like you.
And you can't
someone
figure it out.
Someone just has that out for you and you can't figure it out.
Oh, come on. Hold time out. I got to tell you. I got to tell them this. This reminds me, don't lose your train of thought.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, don't. But this reminds me of when me and you were downtown Colorado Springs.
Oh,
do you remember this?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And we were walking back to our car. We had an appointment, and we were walking back to our car, and there was this lady that walked by. She walked by us. We were going one way, and she was going the other. And she was
completely silent.
She was silent.
Her.
She wasn't
just
on her phone.
Minding her own, just walking.
Yeah. She didn't have her AirPods in. She didn't have headphones, like nothing.
I don't think we even looked at
her.
I did
not even look
or...
at her. We walk by, she walks by us, and she just screeches.
Like 10 feet past
she
us.
She said F you, right?
Yeah.
She's like, F you.
Screaming.
Like a demon, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, it was wild. It was
well,
the wildest
it was
thing.
It was demonic.
And so she says this, right? She's screeching, F yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that. And she walks by, and I turn around, I'm like, what in the world? Who is she talking to? You know? I didn't see, there was nobody around. There was nobody down the street. There wasn't somebody like hanging out of the car. You know, people have road rage here. It wasn't like it was just us.
Mm-hmm.
She walked by us, And I believe that the Spirit of God stirred something up on
in the spirit realm.
And you know, we don't understand that, but there is a spirit realm.
There is a spirit realm.
Yes.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to what you were saying.
Yeah, actually, you know, God kind of showed me this scriptures from Proverbs 3, mm-hmm. verse 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding.
Yes.
In all your ways, acknowledge him, know him, and he will direct your paths. Mm-hmm. So you can't always rely on your understanding, whether it be like an intellectual, technical, yeah. or even relational, emotional understanding. Because mm-hmm. there are things in the spirit realm, and God shows us things mm-hmm. in the spirit. You know, the Bible, you know, the Word of God, it's spirit, it's life. So he can show you things, but you don't know everything.
That's right.
You don't see everything, and I think we're not supposed to. Yeah. I think we're just supposed to trust God and have faith in God.
Yeah, I agree.
And as believers, there is opposition out there. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really matter. You know, you could be like living off in the most remote place, and you're still going to face opposition.
Yeah.
So you can't really get away from it.
Nope, it's just going to happen.
And so I want to talk about how we are to make an impact, even in the midst of opposition. And when I was 12 years old, I was in Kit Carson. I grew up in a town of 300. And my parents had a really powerful minister come to our church. She came about once a year. She was a prophetess, mm-hmm. like real deal prophet, just incredible woman of God. But she prayed and prophesied over me when I was 12. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, something's going to happen in 3 years. I actually still have, my dad wrote down this prophecy, the main, yeah, and I still have it in my journal.
Postcard.
And he gave it to me when I was 18 and went off to college, because a lot of it kind of spoke into me being in college and studying. And but when I was 12, she said, over the course of 3 years, God's going to develop you and prepare you for your destiny, what's next.
Yeah.
And when I was 15, that's the time when we moved here to Colorado Springs, and music for me just exploded. Mm-hmm. It just really started taking off. I won a major competition when I was 15, a big citywide competition for all the high schoolers in town. I won this big solo competition. I won another one again when I was 16. 17, won that same one again with the Youth Symphony. And that was just exploding. Mm-hmm. And being in Colorado Springs, I didn't face too much opposition. I did some in high school.
Yeah.
And I was fairly vocal about my faith and my beliefs and my, mm-hmm. you know, values in school. And even in my high school, it was a public high school. There weren't a whole lot of really outspoken, strong Christians.
Yeah.
But there wasn't like a ton of opposition either. Mm-hmm. I remember there's a couple teachers that would, you argue about political things with me.
So what would you rate the opposition on a scale from 1 to 10?
It was probably like a 3.
Oh yeah.
I felt it was somewhat of a bubble-ish environment at the time. But you know, when I went to college,
mm-hmm. it
in Pittsburgh,
up a little bit.
I out of a school of like 10,000 students, I maybe knew one or two other Christians.
Yeah.
Not that many, you know, and I had to take two buses to go to church, to church where I really felt at home.
Yeah.
And I didn't know anyone in that town either, you know, so my parents, I just good luck.
Lone wolf.
Yeah. And I remember, you know, walking across campus to go catch the bus to go to church, and on a Sunday morning, you know, Saturday night, everyone was partying super hard. And mm-hmm. and I was the only person alive. You know, at 7:30
at that
a.m.
time,
on a
yeah.
Sunday.
I'm surprised you were alive at 7:30 a.m.
And I would just hear this hymn being played in my head. You know, though none go with me, still I will follow. I have decided to follow Jesus.
Well,
and
good.
I really felt like I was the only one, which I wasn't.
Right, but it felt like it.
And just that opposition became more apparent. But God gives you favor even in the midst of opposition.
Yeah, he does.
He can help protect you, and he can even use people who disagree with you mm-hmm. to actually give you favor and help you on the path that God has for you.
Yeah.
But we're to make a difference and have an impact and live that abundant life.
Yeah.
even in the midst of opposition. Mm-hmm. And that opposition, it's not going away.
Right. It's actually...
So I'm here. We're actually here to encourage you, even in the midst of opposition, even as a pastor,
yeah,
as an associate pastor's wife,
uh-huh,
in a church where everyone believes the same for the most part and has similar values. And do you think there's opposition?
Yeah. I've never had so much opposition in my whole entire life, if you really want to know.
Yeah.
Probably more now than ever. But I also feel more prepared now than I ever have before in my life, you know? So just because, like, we're telling you that you will have opposition, we're telling you not to be scared. It's actually a time where you should lean into the Holy Spirit, and He's going to actually empower you, and you're going to be bold, and you're going to think, how in the world did I just do that? Well, you didn't. It's called the strength of the Lord.
And something I realized, too, that's helped me, and especially when you're dealing with opposition from, like, the culture of the world.
Yeah.
And it's creeped into the church as a whole, the global church, the American church in a big way. I just saw someone share a statistic that when, like, Roe v. Wade got overturned, 95% of churches didn't even say anything about that.
Yeah, and that's really sad because that's actually not a political issue.
Yeah.
That's a moral issue.
A biblical
and morals
issue.
Come from the Bible.
Yeah.
Without the Bible, there are no morals.
Yeah, we're talking about the issue of abortion.
Yeah.
And that the Supreme Court said this, you know, the Constitution actually doesn't support abortion.
Mm-hmm. But what I'm saying is, like, churches should have
at least
because that's not a political thing. It's not I know that they had voted on it, but, like, it's not at the root of it. It's not politics.
Yeah. So a lot of churches, a lot of people, a lot of, you know, are kind of swimming in the same direction as the culture of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not called to do that.
No.
But when you're, and I think people go along with that current because they don't want to ruffle too many feathers. They don't want to splash around too much.
Well, they're confused at what love is. Mm-hmm. Like, love doesn't just go. Like, if you see me drinking a six-pack of beer and popping some hydrocodone or Xanax or whatever, if you see me doing that every single day, are you going to tell me, Heather, I don't think that's good for you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because that's love. That's truth. But society is so messed up and confused about, like, what is love? And God forbid we tell somebody the truth, because then that's going to go against their feelings, which we have addressed on a couple of other shows.
We're going to kind of talk about that, too, how in the modern culture, feelings has become a false idol.
Yeah.
It's become the golden calf.
Let's jump into it.
Okay.
Okay.
So we're talking about making an impact even in the midst of opposition. Mm-hmm. And God uses ordinary people, ordinary disciples to make huge impacts.
Mm-hmm.
Even against some of the most
scary, people.
Yeah, and some of the most intense opposition.
Yeah.
So in the early church, one of the most intense opposers was Saul of Tarsus.
Yeah.
You know, he actually said he was so zealous for what he thought was right.
Yeah.
According to his Jewish upbringing, he was so zealous that he was killing people over that zeal.
Mm-hmm.
And in Acts 9, this is, you know, many of you know this, the famous account of him on the road to Damascus. He's on the way to Damascus to go round up Christians and, you know, arrest them, have them killed.
Yeah.
And it says in Acts 9, verse 1, that Saul was still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord. So it wasn't a natural thing. He was breathing it.
Yeah.
It was like a deeply spiritual conflict that was going on. And it says he went to the high priest, asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus so that if he found any who were of the way. I love that. They were the way.
Yeah.
You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So here, I love what the writer of Acts says here, that they're of the way. So the way.
They acknowledged.
it is a direction.
Yeah. That's
and the way might be in an opposite direction of some other
the
ways
way of
out
the world,
there.
Yeah.
So they were of the way. It says whether men or women, it didn't really matter.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny that people really get in fusses over men and women, but he was just arresting men and women, you know.
Yeah, he didn't care.
And it said he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Hmm. And this is huge. This is huge on a lot of levels, because he's there going to persecute, to attack, to twist things, to bring, stir up riots, to...
Well, he's there to persecute these people that are followers of the way.
But it's a spiritual thing.
But they're not, but Jesus had already, if you're not familiar with the Bible, Jesus had already died on the cross.
And was rose
And he had risen
again.
From the, yeah, he had risen. And so what's neat about this, if you're not familiar with this, and I'm assuming there are going to be people watching that aren't, is that when he says, why are you persecuting me? Mm. When a person, when you're a believer, and someone is persecuting you, like you already said, they're actually persecuting Jesus that's on the inside of
and
you.
And as believers, you are in Christ.
Yes, you are.
Spiritually speaking, they're either people who are in Christ or not.
Yeah.
So when you're in Christ, when you're dealing with a spiritual attack, it's not you they're attacking.
That's right.
So it helps you not take it so personal.
That should set somebody free. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Like, it's not you. It should actually make you happy. It doesn't feel good, but it should make you happy to know that you're actually on the right way.
Yeah, and you're in actually, Christ, and Christ is in you.
Yes.
You shared something really neat with me before about a minister who met a man who just read the Bible, read different holy books from different religions, and had never met a Christian before. And he was talking to this minister. I think he was in a remote area of China or something, you know, years ago. And he asked this minister, like, his takeaway from reading the Bible, especially reading the New Testament, was this is what he wanted to ask the Christian minister. Is it really true? Of all the things he could take away, is it really true that your God lives in you?
Yes. Yeah, I forgot about that.
That's so cool.
It really is cool, because Christianity is the only religion where Christ comes to dwell, his spirit comes to dwell on the inside of every single believer.
So opposition, it's not you, it's Christ in
Yes.
you. That's
the reason why Christians get persecuted more than any other religion. You can talk about all different types of religions you want, but when and people will go along with it. But as soon as you say Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him, somebody's going to start shrieking somewhere. Somebody's not going to like that.
So the voice said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And it's really interesting what Saul says here. He actually asks a question, and this is the most important question that every single human being has to answer, which is, who is God?
Yes.
Who is Lord?
Yep.
So he asks this. He says, who are you, Lord? He realized this is God talking to him. So he says, who are you, Lord? And there's only one right answer.
Yep.
You know, again, the culture of today says, you know, this is a... All answers are correct.
Yeah, like it's your truth.
You can just circle all the bubbles, any bubbles you want, and it's all fine, but it's not true. There's one right answer. There's one right bubble to fill out. So, you know, who are you, Lord? God is not Allah. God is not Buddha. God is not Krishna. God is not Marx. God is not the government. God is not you. God is not your truth. God is not your feelings. God is not everyone's collective feelings. Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
Jesus. Yeah.
He is.
So that's the most important question. And with my entire life, with my entire existence, with my entire being, with everything I do, with I want to direct people to Jesus and that fact, the most important truth in the entire universe, because it is the truth, is that Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
So he said, who are you, Lord? This is Acts 9, verse 5. The Lord said, I am Jesus. Whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? So that's actually the second most important question for every human being that lives every day. This is an important question. What do I do? You know, when you know that there is a God, that there's one true God, that you know the Father sent his only beloved Son to live a perfect life, to die for your sins. The Father raised him up, made him Lord, sent the Holy Spirit. when you realize that, you have to give account for your life.
Yeah. You do. And
you're not here by just some cosmic mistake, some cosmic accident, some just randomness.
Yeah. I like looking at it like this too. When you make Jesus your Lord, when you make him the Lord of your life, then he'll show you the purpose that your life was created for. Mm. And it opens up a whole new door of fulfillment, mm-hmm. like lasting fulfillment, mm. not just this like, oh, I went shopping and now I'm happy for 10 minutes. You know, it's so much more than that.
And to Saul's credit, he knew right away that I need to do something. Now that I know the truth.
Yeah.
Now that I know that Jesus is Lord, that he's the Messiah, that he, and it's also just beyond just the anointed one. He is the one.
Yeah. You know, this just came to me too. Even when Saul was, before he was Paul, when he was Saul, mm-hmm. he still was trying. He was a worker. I mean, you got to give the man credit. He was trying to do something. He was just doing the wrong things. Mm-hmm. And that shows me that he was probably looking to figure out what the fulfillment for his life, the purpose for his life, but it was just the wrong way. And so when we look at people that might be a Saul in our lives, we shouldn't look at them like they're a case closed scenario. Like we should look at that. With optimism, we should look at people with optimism, knowing that that God can speak through us, mm-hmm. just like Jesus spoke to Saul, mm-hmm. and help someone, like be the catalyst to point them to Jesus.
Yeah, and we see that who Jesus uses to bring that to pass in Saul's life.
Yep.
It's really interesting. We'll get into that here in a moment, and it's a great encouragement for me and a lot of people. So he just asks Jesus, you know, Lord, what do you want me to do? The Lord said to him, arise and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. Mm. So faith is just looking to Jesus, mm-hmm. hearing his voice, and taking one step.
Yeah.
Sometimes God will give you a big picture, a big
vision of something.
Yeah, 30-year vision.
Mm-hmm.
But generally the way he leads is, do this, mm-hmm. and then I'll tell you what to do.
Yeah.
And some people are kicking against the pricks at that.
Whatever
step they're on.
Some people get so caught up at the purpose, like they know God's purpose for them, but then they try to make it happen on their own, mm-hmm. and then they get discouraged, and then they fall away and quit. Mm-hmm. I am the opposite. I don't like to know. Mm-hmm. I just like to figure it out as I go.
And in our circles, and I know not everyone's as deep into our circle as we are in our own circle.
Yeah.
We are open to prophetic mm-hmm. giftings, you know, obviously from scripture, but even current prophecies. And sometimes someone might speak a word of prophecy, which could be just an encouraging word mm-hmm. to lift someone up, to really propel them forward. But sometimes it might be something specific.
Yeah.
Like what this prophet, and she's a very genuine prophet, you know,
yeah.
she called out specific things for me
mm-hmm.
in my future. And one thing she said, you're going to be in the midst of opposing people.
Mm-hmm.
And she named some of those characteristics of what that would look like. And to me at the time, being 12 in a town of 300, Kit Carson, Colorado.
You could say it's probably like a really conservative town too, where
people had
the same
values
as you.
Small town, very rural, yeah.
Yeah.
It was kind of out there.
Yeah.
But what sometimes people do in our circle is they try to, well, what step should I, I'm going to make this step happen to make that happen.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Your mom, actually, this is really interesting. Her mom, Deborah, mm-hmm. Pastor Deborah, she pastors a church in Tennessee.
Tennessee, yeah.
Shelbyville, Tennessee. She's going to be on the show here.
In a couple of weeks.
In a couple of weeks. But when Heather moved out here, Heather lost her first husband.
Mm-hmm.
He had been gone about a year. You moved out here to go Bible school. You moved here with your 4-year-old son, Fisher, at the time. Your mom knew...
Yeah.
Felt/knew/ that you would marry.
She might have even said God told her.
She probably said, yeah, God told
her. Well, I'll ask her.
But she didn't tell you.
No.
That's really interesting, too, because sometimes people do, they're just very attuned to to what God's saying in the spirit and even future things. And mm-hmm. sometimes God tells you something about yourself or about someone else, but you don't always have to voice it.
No, sometimes God just tells you things so you can pray for people.
Oh,
and if it's negative, I would charge you not to say something to them. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes God will tell us something about a situation and maybe it seems a little scary. Like, don't tell that person. Maybe that's God just telling you so you can pray. Mm-hmm. That's intercessory prayer mm-hmm. to me. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, your mom said God told you you were going to move out here and marry me.
Yeah, which is
but
wild.
But she never told
me. She didn't want to tell me because she knew I didn't want to get married again. She didn't want to freak me out, I think. But she ended up telling me later, like later on.
While we're engaged, perhaps.
Probably.
Or, yeah. But this is what I'm saying. If you know there's a prophetic word and it might be kind of specific, you shouldn't go out of your way to try to make it happen.
Right.
You can be aware of it and be praying of it, and but don't just... I'm going to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep listening to God one step at a time.
Yeah.
And this is all I tell him. Go into the city. I'll tell you what you must do. And they had to hand lead Saul to Damascus because he lost his eyesight. And it said he was there just waiting 3 days without sight. Didn't eat or drink. So even he was just there 3 days.
Yeah.
God just told him, hey, go. And God didn't tell him, hey, once you get there within an hour,
you're going to meet somebody who's going to help you.
Yeah, so he's there, and like he knows, well, what's the next? I did what God told me. Why do I have to wait 3 days? And he's just, you know, really going through some shock, probably.
I'm sure.
I mean, he had Christians murdered.
Yeah.
So for 3 days, didn't couldn't see, couldn't eat or drink. And this is really interesting here. This is kind of the heart of what I want to say, how to make an impact in the midst of opposing people. So here enters a disciple from Damascus named Ananias. Mm-hmm. And all we know about him, we know he's not a prophet, he's not a pastor, not a teacher, not an apostle, not an evangelist. It just says that he is a certain disciple there in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord appears to him in a vision. I find that really interesting too. You know, God can speak to people different ways. He can speak obviously through the word. Mm-hmm. And really you should read the Bible till it speaks to you.
Yeah. You should be reading the Bible every day, actually.
Yeah, and it should be speaking to you.
Yeah.
Because it is alive.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just a dusty book. It is alive.
Yeah.
So Ananias, God speaks to him in a vision. And I don't think this is like an ordinary thing. I don't think, you know, people get a vision like this every day. And I remember I actually had a vision, like very lucid vision. I would call it a vision from God
mm-hmm.
when I was 20 years old. And I don't think I've ever experienced anything like that
I
since.
I think you've ever told me about this.
I might have.
I
was 20. I was actually in Santa Barbara playing with a summer orchestral program there. And it was like a big deal that I got in this program. Like all the top college classical musicians from around the country were there. Juilliard, Yale.
Oh,
all around.
Yeah, I was actually sleeping.
I went, at the time, we were staying in these dorms for a private high school that were kind of up in the avocado orchards of mm-hmm. Carpinteria, very beautiful place. And I was taking a nap before dinner, and I was doing that so I could be energized for the concert later that evening. And I took this nap, and when I was napping, I had this dream, but I really feel it was a vision.
Mm-hmm.
This is way beyond a dream, the way it felt.
Yeah.
And I remember when I woke up, being awake felt like a dream.
Yeah.
The vision felt like it was reality.
Yeah.
That's how I would describe it.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember when I went to dinner, and even for like an hour, it felt like that was the Twilight Zone. But what I just experienced was real.
Was more real.
So in this dream, in this vision, I actually saw myself playing the flute
mm-hmm.
in like a wheat field. And it was right in front of the church in Kit Carson, mm-hmm. where my parents planted a church where I grew up till I was 12. You know, I'm like 20 now at this point. So I lived in Colorado Springs and lived in Pittsburgh. But I was in that field and like, suddenly just I was encircled by quite a few people
mm-hmm.
and I could tell that the majority of them were non-believers, And I remember I could even tell that some of them were demonically
oppressed,
possessed.
Yeah.
More possessed.
Yeah.
And I remember this one person I went up to. I set my flute to the side and I went and prayed over this person. I remember he had like a bloodied eye.
Oh God.
And it was very graphic to me.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
But God was giving me like a picture and direction. Mm-hmm. And so God can speak through visions and dreams. Yeah. And I think you don't need to get off in the weeds on all that stuff either.
No.
You know, because some people want to interpret every dream. Like some people dream a lot.
Yeah. And not all dreams are like prophetic dreams or from God even. They're just
and so they can pray over too. And
yeah. And ask for some.
So just God speaks to him in a vision, Ananias, and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Arise, go to the street called Straight, and inquire at the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he is praying. And in a vision he has seen." So Paul, or Saul at the time, had also received a vision.
Mm-hmm.
In this three-day period, he saw this vision. He said, "In a vision he's seen a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him so that he might receive his sight." Then Ananias said, "Lord," so he's saying Saul is a very opposing person,
yeah,
a very opposing force. You know, I'm willing to die for you, but I'd rather not.
Yeah, not today.
"Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, 'Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake.'" So it says, Ananias went his way and entered the house, laying his hands on him. He said, "Brother Saul," I love that he calls him brother.
I know, that's really
Saul. So I believe
he must have had compassion.
Yeah, I believe that when Saul saw this light, heard Jesus, I believe that in that moment, you know, he said, "Lord, who are you?"
Uh-huh.
I believe that he technically became a believer.
Yeah.
You know, wanted to follow Jesus, and he did follow Jesus.
Well, he called him Lord.
He called him Lord, yeah. And here you see Ananias calling him brother.
Uh-huh.
"Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you came, has sent me that you may receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." So to me, that kind of shows that, hey, the filling of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's something that's separate
mm-hmm.
from the salvation experience.
Yeah.
And often in Acts, when people were filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, they would pray in tongues. And Saul, who became Paul the Apostle, actually writes about praying in tongues, and he told the church in Corinth that, you know, and they were doing squirrely things with praying in tongues and the prophetic side of it, you know, giving a prophetic tongue and interpretations. Mm-hmm. So he was trying to bring some order to it, but he wasn't squashing it either.
Right.
And he clarified, and, yeah. and he said, "I thank God that I pray in tongues
more
or speak
than
in
you
tongues
all.
More than you all."
Yeah.
And so he prays for him, filled with the Holy Spirit. It says in verse 18, "Immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he received his sight at once, and he arose and was baptized." I believe that means he was baptized in water.
Yeah.
Which he wanted to, and that's a baptism of identification.
Yeah.
I'm making my witness to everyone that I am being baptized in water. I'm identifying, as I go into the water, I'm identifying with Christ and his
death.
Uh-huh. And when I come out of the water, I'm identifying with him in his resurrection. So
yes.
It's no longer I who live.
Yes.
But Christ in me.
Yes.
The enemy thought he had me.
Yeah.
But Jesus said, "You are mine."
Uh-huh.
No longer I who
Oh, live, you want to sing on this podcast
Christ
now, but
me.
You didn't want to sing on that
every
last
now
one.
And then.
Uh-huh.
I just like this song more. The other
okay,
one
okay, moving on.
And
moving
I remember
on.
The other song.
There
was
nothing wrong with
song.
It's fine. Don't act like you never listen to any secular music.
So he's baptized in water. It says, when he had received food, he was strengthened. Then Saul spent some days with the disciples at Damascus. And I love this. Immediately, this is Saul of Tarsus, who becomes Paul the Apostle. Immediately, he preached to Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God.
Yes. Immediately.
So cool. Immediately. But I want to talk about Ananias, who, again, he's not some famous minister, some famous prophet, some guy on TV. So like he is a certain disciple.
Yes. Before you do that, though, I want to say I love that he immediately preached the Christ in the synagogues, because some people think that they have to be some super saint, that they have to be some, you know, well-educated theologian to witness to people. But the thing is, Saul was filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he actually makes you a witness and gives you the power to be able to witness for him.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm sure, you know, and it's kind of interesting here. It just says he spent some days with the disciples at Damascus.
Yeah, he didn't learn everything he needed to know.
And these disciples weren't probably the main disciples of the day either.
Like, yeah.
Those disciples were probably more connected to Jerusalem.
And something else that I've learned that this actually really encourages me, because when Pastor Barbara first started, when she asked me to start preaching at Flourish, I'm like, I don't know everything.
That's our women's ministry.
Yeah, Flourish Women's Ministry. I don't have everything figured out. And at the time, I think I only finished 1 year of Bible school or something. No, two. But anyway, I didn't know everything. And God told me one time, he said, Heather, you can also learn through teaching. God can actually teach you while you're sharing with someone else. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, that's a spiritual thing, but that's actually a very practical thing too.
Is it?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I studied flute for many years. I have a doctorate in music. But when I was getting my master's and doctorate, I started teaching a lot, a lot of lessons.
Uh-huh.
I actually had a year off between my master's and doctorate where I had 40 students I taught every week.
Yeah.
One-on-one flute lessons, but by verbalizing what I already kind of knew and what came natural to me, by verbalizing it, it actually helped me become a better player.
That's awesome.
Myself. And a lot of really great teachers, especially in the arts, I think feel the same way.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's similar for other things like sports and
probably just public speaking too. I think that's so awesome, because it really empowers people to get outside of their box and to get through that fear of, oh, what if they ask me a question and I don't know how to answer it? Well, it's okay. You can just say, I don't know the answer to that. I don't know the answer to that yet, you know? But we shouldn't
just listen,
be fearful.
Listen, yeah, don't be afraid and just listen
to the
to
Holy
Jesus
Spirit
too.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes how you teach as well, how you communicate, not just what you're saying, but
yeah,
how you're communicating.
How you say it's
and
better,
who you're
probably
communicating to. So in a community of faith in the body of Christ in a local church, scripture says, like, you know, we should be in unity. You know, you should respect the leadership of the head pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's the shepherd over that body of believers. But within that body of believers, the Bible says that we are to submit to one another. And I thought a lot about that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I obviously need to be submitted to, you know, my head pastor. You know, legally, he's my boss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you're an employee, you need to submit to the one who signs their name on your paycheck.
Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
And, you know, here in the U.S., we have a very, like, independent kind of culture and mindset, which overall is a good thing, but sometimes there's some negative things that come of that. Like, sometimes we just question everything and don't always take direction really well. Mm-hmm. And it's different in other cultures, you know, and they can be very strong believers in other cultures, like more Eastern, Asian, Middle Eastern type cultures, where it's less individualistic.
Yeah.
But it says to submit to one another. I've thought a lot about that. And, you know, here at our church, I'm actually the director over the music ministry. We have two really fantastic worship leaders that, you know, alternate services and pretty much work with the team. But that doesn't necessarily mean that I can just do whatever I want.
Right.
You know, and what I love personally, I love classical music. I love Bach. I love the cantatas he wrote, the church music he wrote, you know, in German.
Yeah.
You know, even with the English translation, you know, if we did it my way.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, you know, we'd have an orchestra. We'd have opera singers. We'd be singing these cantatas. You know, some in German.
Yeah.
Because that's more technically correct. But some in English, just to submit a slight bit to our congregation.
Like a head nod to the American sitting in there.
Yeah, that don't want to read the translation or try to learn German because Aaron loves Bach. That's his favorite and he's over it.
Yeah.
No, I have to submit to obviously the head pastor, but submit to kind of what people are able to receive. And again, worship is very corporate.
Yeah, it is very corporate.
And that's why I say worship leader, because you're leading people in corporate worship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not about what everyone's favorite style or song is or singer mm-hmm. is or instrument is. It's a very corporate thing, and it's for Jesus.
Yeah. You have to keep the whole body in mind.
Yeah.
Not just one person.
Yeah, and about a year and a half ago, you know, for many years, I've been on staff 9 years, but for the first 7 years of ministry here, I was the Wednesday night teacher, Bible mm-hmm. teacher. And Wednesday night it's great. You know, if your church has a midweek service, you should go to it.
Yeah.
Because that's where it's like in college, you know, there's like required courses, uh-huh. but there's the electives. And electives are actually more fun because the people really want to be there.
Oh, yeah.
And like teaching elective is a lot more fun because the people really want to be there. They're not, mm-hmm. they don't just have to get through it.
Yeah.
So Wednesday night, it's like an elective. It's like the people really want to be there.
Who really chose to be
there. They really
want to
go deeper. Mm-hmm. And I can use the intellectual side of my brain teaching. I can go into the Greek and the Hebrew and share things from different angles. And these are like the people who, a lot of them have been going to church a long time and they really
they
appreciate
like
that. Yeah. But a year and a half ago, both of us stepped into youth ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a completely different.
Oh, yeah.
Completely.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to teach them what you would teach your adults on a Wednesday night.
No, but gosh, you know, you have to submit
right.
to them.
Uh-huh.
So, hey.
And where they're at.
Well, what's the, you know, you normally preach 45 minutes. How much can they handle?
Yeah.
15, 20 minutes.
Yeah,
you know, those
max.
12, 13-year-old squirrely boys.
Yeah.
So, hey, you guys, guess what? You got to set a timer for this preacher.
And you know what? Just
because
I don't want somebody to see this and be like, well, I want my kid to go somewhere where they're getting some deep word. You know, you can deliver a massive message in 15 to 20 minutes.
Mm. And part of the reason why we keep it fairly tight for the youth for that age group is so we can also split off. And at that age, they need to start verbalizing what
yeah.
they're learning.
Mm-hmm.
So we break off with other, we have fantastic leaders mm-hmm. and do kind of small groups within the church. And for youth, that's very healthy. That's very
yeah.
safe. You know, hey, we're going to do youth ministry within the walls of the church.
Yeah.
You're not split off and do stuff where there's less accountability. And
right.
Less,
but
they yeah, but we're going to do a lot of it here.
Yeah.
And a lot of time for that. But we're going to make it, hey, these leaders are going to kind of rehash what was spoken, this, some of these big truth bombs.
Mm-hmm.
But how does it apply to you? And let's talk about it.
Yeah.
And for them, it's really awesome for them to kind of start speaking up.
Yeah.
About what they know, what they find true, what they love about the Bible. Like
mm-hmm.
it's actually training them.
Yeah. To have conversations
with
other people.
To find their voice and have uh-huh. conversations with other people.
Yeah. It's really amazing. But you wouldn't do that. You might not do that. Like with adults on a Wednesday night.
Yeah,
so you have to
Sunday
be submitted
yeah, if,
to the group that you're trying
to teach. Yeah, you submit
to
one
teach.
Another.
Yeah.
yeah. And that means that you're flexible.
Yeah.
And you're open.
Yeah. Doesn't mean one
direction.
Size fits all. Your attitude might need to be different when you're talking to one person versus another person. You might have to be more loving with one person than you would be more direct with somebody else. Yeah. Like, it's just different.
So God uses Ananias, just a certain disciple.
Mm-hmm.
This is so cool to minister, to be the person that he works through to really point Saul in the right direction.
Yeah, I actually love this. This is
just
like
a certain disciple who's going to impact this mega, mega, mega voice for Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
It is so powerful.
It is.
We're actually just talking to our 11-year-old son kind of about this. Like, he's 11, so he's at the age where he sees, you know, like, influencers,
mm-hmm.
you know, on YouTube or whoever. You know, we don't let him watch YouTube a whole lot, but he sees.
Hardly never.
Hardly ever. But there's people
watch.
Who make.
But he knows
videos
just because
playing
the
video
age
games,
that he is,
yeah,
the kids
there,
talk.
Yeah,
and
they know who.
Yes, they all know.
The biggest influencers are. And so we let him make some videos, Lego stop motion videos. I actually think it's awesome because it's a creative thing. You know, I'm kind of teaching him, hey, don't be a consumer, be a creator.
Yeah.
So if you want to have some interaction with YouTube, do it as a creator. You're not going to be a consumer. You're not going to just sit here and doom scroll. And and really, we don't even let him consume any YouTube right now.
Yeah, we don't.
But you can create. So he creates, and you know, he has another friend that has videos that gets thousands of views of little silly videos he makes. And
he takes videos of himself game, like not himself, but he
while he's playing.
His lives video. I don't even know.
And he uploads them. He's doing in the video game. Yeah. And he's a funny kid.
He's
too.
Very
got
funny.
A good personality.
Yes, he does.
But Fisher's
doesn't do that.
Don't take off like that.
Yeah.
And it was really bothering him. So we kind of talked about this.
Yeah.
Similar to like Ananias and Saul example.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes how much effort you put into something doesn't always mean you're going to have this
huge
really,
harvest.
Really
or,
wide impact. But, yeah. but God might be causing you to have a very deep impact somewhere.
Yeah.
Like not just quantity, but the quality.
Yeah. And we should be eternally minded.
Yeah.
We shouldn't. If you just want all of that recognition here on earth, that is so carnal.
Yeah.
Like we need to be eternally minded.
And everything we do shouldn't just be
about
check. And I even explained to him too. I talked about me getting my doctorate and finishing it up right before we got married. And he got to be there for my doctoral graduation. But to finish that out, I had to write this 100-page research paper, a dissertation.
And how many people have read it? How many people have read it?
Three people.
Yeah.
Like three people.
Yeah.
And I told him this. And I said, you know, and it took me a whole year to do this.
Yeah. And all the research.
And it's not really connecting to my future career because I'm not going to be a music professor.
Yeah.
And it's kind of nice to be able to say I have a doctorate, but most people here at the church but they don't really care a whole lot.
Right. But you know what it taught you? It taught you to start something, do that thing for a while, and finish it and complete it.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people need to do that. I read something somewhere that said whenever you start something and don't finish it, it actually hurts you mentally. Mm-hmm. Because it's like you're lying to yourself almost.
Yeah, and the reason why I loved classical music, I still do. Had a gift for it, grew that gift a lot.
Yeah.
And I love performing. So initially I wanted to perform. And then I started realizing while I was getting my master's and that year after my master's when I was teaching a lot, I'm like, I really love teaching because like it's not like just the stage and then just 1,000 people in the audience. You're like, you're actually making an impact.
Uh-huh.
Like a very deep impact.
Right.
And when you teach one person for like 6 years, you can see just how much it impacted someone.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I love teaching. I'm going to get my doctorate because then I could be a university professor and teach.
Yeah.
And have an impact that way. You know, in music,
yes.
But also the impact goes beyond just.
Yeah, totally.
The technique of.
Well, it's
the
more
instrument.
Blessed to give than to receive. And when you're teaching, that's such a blessing to be able to pour into someone.
But that all really helped prepare me for what I'm doing now.
Yeah, it really did.
And, you know, ministry. It's a little bit of both. There is some like, hey, we need to do things with excellence. We need to do worship. We need to, you know, engage with a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
And help a lot of people come through the doors and catch a hold and be excited. But also, it's like there's that wide impact we're going for. But you can't lose that deep.
No, you can't.
Impact either. And, so Ananias, you know, Saul was someone who had a very wide, like we're still reading half of the New Testament, which he wrote.
Right.
This is all we know about Ananias, that he was just a certain disciple in Damascus. So he had to listen to God to, wow, it's so, so profound.
It's awesome.
So this is what I want to say, that you, if you're a believer on Jesus, you need to be a disciple as well.
Yes.
Like, believing is one thing. It's awesome. You're saved when you believe. But to be a disciple means, hey, I'm listening.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing. I'm following.
Well, you want to grow.
I'm making an impact.
It's like you. So when you want to be a disciple, it's up to you. Your pastor's there, of course, to disciple you. But, you know, we've tried to teach many a people who didn't really want to be a disciple. Mm-hmm. They didn't really want that. Like, they don't receive, they don't want to receive, they don't receive direction, they don't do any of that. And it's up to us individually to make that choice to be a disciple. Yeah. And I want to put a shameless plug right here for our website.
Yeah.
I mean, our website, yes, but our YouTube channel here on YouTube, if you click on the playlist tab, we have loads of teaching that will deep, like good teaching, but it's not deep as in hard to understand. It's deep as in it's going to benefit your life at a deep level.
It's going to help you grow and really disciple you.
Yes.
Yeah, I was looking over the, and we.
Just yesterday.
Yeah.
We were looking at it.
The title just tell you what it is.
Oh, yeah.
And there's a lot of people that don't really understand the doctrine, the teaching behind being filled with the Holy Spirit, what that means.
Yeah.
And maybe they've heard just something from one angle and.
Or provision or just how to, just all different. You should just go click on it.
That's
on the
really awesome.
On the playlist tab.
Yeah.
And they're all, the subjects are grouped together and it's completely free. Mm-hmm. What a time to be alive where we can get all this free teaching and discipleship. It's just at our fingertips.
And Ananias.
Yes, sorry.
This certain disciple named Ananias, Jesus told him, go to a street called Straight.
Yeah.
And you're going to minister this guy. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of thinking about this, how we all just ultimately, like, we need to be a disciple.
Yeah.
And I've given this example about several months ago. It was a Tuesday. I got home from work. You know, Fisher had soccer practice. And I think I was really tired that day. I didn't really.
You were clocked out, you said.
I was clocked out.
You took your pastor hat off.
Yeah.
But you still had on a different hat.
Yeah, I took my pastor. So I was just wearing Crocs and like old Crocs. I have my old Crocs.
If you want to be a disciple, you have to wear Crocs.
So I was wearing my old Crocs, old shorts, old t-shirt. And you're like, I don't care if you're tired. You're taking Ada along with you. She needs to get out of this house and go to that playground.
She likes
to
be outside.
We go to this park called Angel Dust. And we're there.
Angel Mist? Uh-huh. Angel Mist Park.
Okay. I thought it was Angel Dust.
I know. You said it wrong yesterday,
like
but it's
fun. Oh, gosh. Angel Mist.
It's fun.
The glory cloud of angels.
Yeah.
So I was feeling no anointing that day. No, I was just tired. Mm-hmm. I'm here with my four-year-old girl. Always full of energy.
Yeah.
And she starts playing with this another girl. Great. I can have a little breather. She's playing with someone. You know, and... this other girl's parents, I could tell, are kind of shy. But I felt like I should just talk to them.
Yeah.
Say, hey, you know, you have a girl, I have a girl. Like, I don't even know what I said. But we're just talking a little bit, and I think they really like that their girl, and it's an only child. So, like, wow, you know, she's really enjoying playing with someone. And I said, well, we're here every Tuesday at this time. I guess I was signing myself up to do the same thing again. But I said, you can come back next Tuesday. We'll be here playing. And I think they said normally they're not there at that park or something. Or like, but I said, well, and I don't think initially I even said I was a pastor. I said, well, I go to a church. And, you know, we do Wednesday night, Sundays. But, like, Ada loves church, and there's lots of friends there. You can bring her to church.
Yeah.
And... you know, I think Ada was still maybe in the tot. I don't know if she's in the toddler or preschool
program.
She's
in the pre-K. She's
well, it's a lot. It's a lot of fun and play. And you know, Ada loves coming to church. Mm-hmm. And so just come to church sometime. And they didn't come for a bit, but then after a few weeks, they came on a Wednesday night, and the mom had some like, and I think she's still dealing with. Stuff, you know, getting better but pretty major surgeries and things for her leg. And mm-hmm. just another certain disciple here asked, hey, can I pray for your leg? And
disciple at church.
Yeah.
They came to church and someone here.
Just asked, can I pray for you?
Yeah.
And the next morning when this woman woke up, she told her husband, and she was kind of walking around, hey, this severe pain I've had, it's way down. That prayer, it did something.
Something worked, yeah.
So they kept coming to church, and they came to our camp meeting with Pastor Mark Hankins, just mega filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And, He was doing a service and took up a really big, like he took the entire service, I think, an hour talking about offering. Yeah,
took up a long offering.
And they looked at each other and decided to put everything that they had in the offering. It's just $8.
Wow.
And
that's tremendous.
Yeah. And it doesn't make sense.
It still gets you,
well,
doesn't
it? Yeah, because even in my own brain, I'm thinking like the amount of money it takes to run things here and to...
Yeah.
Like $8 doesn't go a long way.
Right.
And if you're really that strapped...
If you're
like,
in dire straits.
Just keep it.
See, that's the difference between
me
and you. I know.
To
listen, to me, though, I'm like, if that's all I got, what am I going to do with $8? I might as well just put it in the offering, see what happens, you know? What great faith.
Yeah. And
that's awesome.
Within a few weeks, they have a little side business cleaning, and it really took off, and they're putting $100 in the offering every time now. And this gentleman, he actually sent me a message just recently, and he said, my wife added even an extra 25 to
that's
it.
Awesome.
Yeah. And
I love that.
But he told me just how much it's just transformed their lives just coming to church here and transformed their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just beautiful. You know, so awesome. Listen to God when you're at that street called Straight, that park called Angel Mist.
Wherever you're at, grocery store. You know, be on the lookout. Be on the lookout.
And it could be something as simple as, hey, I go to a church. Maybe you can come.
Yeah.
That's basically like the level of my spirituality that day.
People are so hungry for actual interaction with other humans apart from a screen.
Mm-hmm.
It really blesses people to actually have a real conversation, and that's one reason why we started this podcast. Uh-huh. So.
And you're always on the lookout too.
I try to be. I mean, sometimes I'm tired too, and I'm not always on the lookout, but I try to be.
Yeah, but I love that you also, you're a disciple.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, like we shared before about just ministering to our chiropractor. God put it on your heart to pray for him. And we're just getting our backs adjusted and our four-year-olds there climbing on all, pushing all the buttons on all the chiropractic equipment. And just let
always
him,
be
let him
on the lookout. Always be listening to the Holy Spirit.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is awesome.
And I think I love the words of Ananias that certain disciples said too, you know, here I am.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of resonates with that Old Testament scripture, here I am, send me.
Yes.
I think that should be at the center of all of our hearts. Yes. Here I am, send me. So even in the midst of opposition,
mm-hmm.
you know, we're to make an impact.
Yes, amen. And we are going to make an impact.
We are going to make an impact.
Yes.
Yeah.
You should wake up every day and say that.
Yeah.
Here I am. I'm going to make an impact.
I'm going to do,
Yes. Don't be scared. Don't go hide.
No. And I feel like that opposition, it's going to be turned up.
Mm-hmm.
So we just turn up our impact.
Yep, that's right.
You turn up your voice, turn up the truth, turn up your love for people, turn up Jesus inside of you.
Yeah.
Shining out to people. Just turn it up.
Amen. That's awesome.
It's kind of what I feel myself, you know, God saying that, hey, it's time to turn it up a notch.
Yes, amen.
You know, go up a gear.
Yeah.
Certainly don't be stuck in neutral.
No.
It's called lukewarmness. Don't be stuck in reverse.
Mm-hmm.
Backsliding.
Yeah, don't do that.
Like, put it in gear and make an impact.
Amen. That's awesome.
Well, I think that's about all we have to share today.
Yeah. We hope you're blessed. We want to take just a minute and we want to pray for you, if that's okay. You want to pray, Aaron, or do you want me to? You're welcome to pray.
You can pray. Why don't you pray?
Okay, Lord, we just thank you so much for this time together, God. I just pray that these words fall on soft hearts, that they just resonate deeply in the people watching this podcast and listening to this podcast, Lord. I just pray that a fire be lit up on the inside of every single believer under the sound of my voice, that they would just know, Holy Spirit, that you're with them, that you have made them and created them for a great purpose so that you could shine deep in the hearts of the people that they are surrounded by, God. I just pray for a new and a fresh boldness to rise up on the inside of them, for them to just wake up in the morning and just feel so refreshed and so excited to know, God, that you are with them, that you're moving with them, and that they are going to impact their surroundings, and that people around them that look like hard cases to crack, that they are nothing for you, Lord. Nothing is impossible for you, God. And we just thank you for the time that we get to live in today. Man, what a time to be alive. We are just so excited to be a part of what you're doing. And it's such an honor to be your sons and your daughters, Lord. And we just thank you, God. We just praise you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Awesome.
Amen.
Well, thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe to what we're doing. And we're trying to release one a week here. Yep. So keep tuning in. Watch them when we come out with new episodes. And also, you're welcome to connect with our overall YouTube channel. We have our other church teachings and
you should go to that.
Services. You can go to our church website as well to learn more about the ministry that's over us. And you can connect more there. You can give there as well if you just want to just sow into good ground. But thanks so much for joining us, and we'll see you all next time.
See you next time.